This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Hey, Sam, you having a good day?
I am having a fantastic day.
Dan, how about you? You having a good day over there, buddy?
I'm having a great day. Ready to dance? This music's getting me going.
Dana Wright.
How's your day going?
I just wanted to go to the bank. Just wanted to go to the bank, boys. Just wanted to go to the bank.
Make a small withdrawal?
Nope. Scott was making a deposit.
Okay.
Taking care of your chores and your...
Oh, even
errands.
Worse, though. You were giving up money.
Yep. We're looking for witnesses.
Okay.
If you were in the area of 87th and Lackman Road around 12:52 p.m., specifically in front of the Sherwin-Williams that is adjacent to the Westlake Ace Hardware that is adjacent to, shameless plug, UMB Bank. A bench chasing a dog struck my car.
And why was the bench, it was metallic, I believe?
It was, Scott.
Why was the bench chasing the dog?
We're looking for witnesses because someone on this gorgeous day leashed their dog and then tethered the leash to a metal grate patio bench.
Mm-hmm.
The dog on this gorgeous day then takes off running like in the children's book of Fly went by. It sounded like a shopping cart on its side at a high rate of speed flying through the parking lot.
That dog was strong and fast.
It's a gorgeous day out. My windows were down and I hear this awful metal frantic sound. I turn around assuming the end of days is near.
Okay.
And it is a dog, this poor dog, terrified because the faster the dog runs, the faster the bench gives chase.
It's kind of how that works.
And starts to bouncy bounce.
So I stop my car. I'm thinking this dog is going to be struck by a car. It's frantic. Let me see if I can try to free him. And like a childhood playground game of tetherball, that bench goes flying around and around through the air and then strikes my car. You cannot make that up.
And I have never been so proud to have a boring life than I am right now.
Someone in this town right now is missing a dog
and
a bench.
Well, I think Sherwin-Williams is missing the bench and somebody else is missing a dog.
And that dog is probably still going. Being chased by the bench.
Oh, honestly, no. When the bench came flying off like in a scene of The Matrix, or dare I say John Wick, the bench goes flying through the air, strikes my car, simultaneously untethering itself from the dog, and the dog then goes flying across 87th Street.
Well, thank you for being the hero in this situation, because you did stop your vehicle to take the bench from the dog.
Oh, I took the brunt of it.
You did. You took the bench from the dog.
So these dinglings, you guys, say to me.
Who, us?
Yes. You ought to check your Tesla. I bet it caught that on camera. It did.
No. You called the radio station, and you said to Sam and me, call Sherwin-Williams. I want the camera footage from their parking lot, to which Sam and I said, you don't need it. Your car recorded the entire thing, to which you said, oh, yeah, you're right. And then we got the footage from your car.
Oh, it recorded it. Would you like to describe the dog?
Sure. It was it was not a husky, but it looked kind of like a...
I'm going to go Australian Shepherd, Scott.
And half husky.
Kind of a mutt. I was getting a terrier vibe a little bit.
It was frisky.
He was quick.
Boy, he was running from something.
And man, was he making that bench fly.
There is a man in a Porsche convertible that happened to be driving by that witnessed this. At first, I thought, is this the dog's owner? Hmm. No, no, no. This was just a man that was like, he witnessed the chaos, did not understand what was happening, sort of was shaking his head and laughing.
Dana, from the text line, did you call to report this? They're suggesting that a judge could issue a bench warrant.
All right. Out! This did do damage to my car.
It did.
Who tethers a dog to a 5-pound bench? This is the kind of bench that is outdoor only, on the patio. It's made out of that like cheap wrought iron. Not wrought iron. Wrought iron is heavy.
So my guess is it is somebody who was shopping in Sherwin-Williams.
Or some other store nearby.
Right.
You're going to know because right now at 210, you're missing a dog and a metal bench.
No one expects the dog to take off with the bench. I mean, you tie the dog up, you go into the store.
So somebody was either in Westlake Ace Hardware, Sherwin-Williams, looking at paint colors. Maybe they're going to repaint a room in their home. And they thought, I'm just going to go in here for a second. I'll leave Fido outside.
He's not going to take off. This bench is secure.
What we didn't know is that Fido is a big Queen fan and had a song playing in his head, I Want to Be Free. Yep. And Fido took to running.
Now, we have a lot of concern about the dog.
You should be concerned about the dog because the dog, trust me, was fine and hyper and happy and I think scared by the noise.
Yeah.
Because when I tried to get out of the car, I was like, whoa, 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 buddy. Like, I'm going to help you. The noise was so loud, as you can imagine. Like
from the bench?
From the bench. Like, picture taking a shopping cart. Like I said, put it on its side and then drag it at an extremely high rate of speed on asphalt. That was the noise it was making. So the dog was scared. I got out to try to help. And then the bench just went flying into my car and the dog bolted. That's why I think this is a sheepdog, you guys. It bolted. And there's a dog park right there. And there's a bunch
of, you know. So maybe they were at the dog park before.
Well, it wouldn't make any sense for the dog to be tethered to a bench outside of the dog park. Dog parks are built so that you can release the dog inside the dog park.
It was probably somebody walking a dog, tied them off, went into the store, and I'll come back for Fido.
Mm-hmm.
And Fido's like, I'm out of here.
Sam, is it warm in your studio today?
Oh, my gosh.
I can hear the fan in the background.
I am so sorry for the sound of the fan. I decided today I am not going to be sweating for 4 hours straight.
I'll bring you our fan. It's much more quiet.
Yeah. Seriously, though, did you see where the dog went?
I believe it happened so fast, Sam. This is one of those moments where, like, do you swear to raise your right hand? Because I knew when I got back to work, no one was going to believe this happened. I knew no one was going to believe that this had happened.
And this was in Lenexa?
Yeah, 87th and Lackman Road.
Yeah, that dog is in South Olathe now, just dragging that bench.
At that speed.
The bench did detach after it struck my car. And so, you know, yes, concern for the dog, because the dog, by the time I even knew what was going on and I got out of my car, dog was gone. The man in the black convertible Porsche kept driving. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do I do? I'm just trying to go to the bank. I didn't realize my car was damaged till we got back here to the station.
Did you ever get to the bank?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Thankfully, it is minimal damage, but...
It is minimal. There's some paint damage to your car. A little buffer.
Not what you want to have to deal with on your way to the bank on a Tuesday.
You know those ads that say, we've seen a lot because we've covered a lot?
Mm-hmm.
No. No one has seen... No one. This has not ever happened to anyone.
From the text line from 6162, Dana, you just need to never leave your home. The universe is obviously against you. Only you can have so many dumb ass things happen every single day.
It's almost... What else is there to say? This was just such an amazing event. You know, it's almost like a benchmark moment.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Am I going to have to? I truly hope the dog is microchipped. I truly hope that if you're listening and it's a nice day out, for whatever reason, you don't tether your dog. Maybe they were walking, like going into a Starbucks and you can't take your dog in.
Yeah.
Check the weight of the bench before you loop your leash onto a projectile that could have killed me.
From the text line, is it possible that service dogs now come with benches?
No. Seen it, covered it. At Farmers Insurance, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. So call 1-800-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Okay. Check your text message, please.
We have found the bench.
We found the bench.
It's right next to Stem Hair and Body Salon.
So this is interesting. Someone sent us right next door to Sherwin-Williams. There is a hair salon, and it appears there was a metal bench outside of the hair and body salon. This is starting to make sense.
Somebody went in to get their hair done, had their dog with them, didn't want to leave it in the car.
And I'm just going to tether the dog to the bench, and then the dog takes off.
Well, if this is a full-on salon, that was like a hour-long wait for the dog. No, I would have taken off, too.
From the text line, does UMB stand for Unidentified Bench Moving? And by the way, if
text line is on fire.
If UMB pays for that spot you kind of sort of didn't read, that was a freebie.
You can ask a lot of me today. Really? So can I just ask you?
You don't think that's a freebie?
No, I think it's just funny.
I didn't schedule it.
Can I just ask you, for real? Like, if I have to get that repaired, I'm going to call someone and just say, like, who? I'm just curious. I really, truly am concerned for the dog. I want the dog to be okay. But I also don't want my car to be struck by a bench chasing your dog.
Right. I would advise not
claiming this one,
getting it repaired.
Why?
It's a very small scratch. Mm-hmm. And I know a thing or two about cars. I'm like State Farm. That's a plastic bumper. They're going to replace it. It's going to be $2,000.
Or you could just leave your dog at home when you go to get your hair done.
I don't want to make it worse for you. Maybe they were over at the dog park and wanted to pop over for a
quick wash and cut.
Yeah,
I guess.
Maybe some coloring.
Quick hour-long hair appointment. Mm-hmm. Better believe that salon's going to be tethering that bench.
Are you sure that bumper is plastic?
Yes.
I would ask our listeners, what is the craziest thing that has ever struck your car? But you're not going to beat me on this.
I got hit by a deer on the left side.
That is true. Deer are dumb.
The deer his head came right through the driver's side window.
You're lucky he didn't kill you. For real.
I had cat-like reflexes that day.
Don't forget the turkey vulture that dive-bombed your car.
Oh, yeah. There was that.
Why is it living things that strike your car and inanimate objects that strike mine?
Because this dog, if you watch the video, and it's on Facebook, I even shared it on my Facebook if you can't get onto Dana's, and I think you can, this dog moves almost like Saquon Barkley, and he pivots left quickly, throwing the bench into your car.
Yeah, he was running directly at the rear of your vehicle, and honestly, not victim blaming here, I think had you not stopped, you wouldn't have been hit by the bench.
I was trying to help him. I didn't want him to get hit by a car. And I thought if I can just, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, then your car got hit by him.
So here we are.
From the text line, I'm late to the show. Can I get the bench notes on what happened today?
Good talk.
Story here from NBC News. The two-year-old does not have a valid, this is out of Nebraska, does not have a valid birth certificate or a Social Security number, leaving her ineligible for Medicaid, daycare, or any other services that she needs, according to her father.
This poor child.
A Nebraska man is fighting to get a Social Security number and a valid birth certificate for his toddler, whose name is Caroline, whose name is incorrectly listed in state records as Unakite 13 Hotel.
Common spelling?
First name, Unakite. Middle name,
13.
Last name, hotel.
Was the doc using voice to text and somebody else in the room was booking a hotel?
Wait until you hear who's to blame for that awful name. This makes me mad.
Jason Kilburn, who lives just outside of Omaha, has been desperately trying to obtain a Social Security card and a usable birth certificate for his daughter. Without those documents, he said he is unable to get any services for her, from health insurance to child care, because they all require a Social Security number to verify her identity. It's like she's a ghost, said Kilburn. It's been very, very taxing. Now, take us further into the story. How did this mix-up occur?
So she ends up in foster care, and it's my understanding this was a home birth. And I don't know by home if it was in a home or in a hotel, Scott.
Well, I think it was a hotel.
And this is where this made me angry. The state, whoever is in charge of naming children in the system who, you know, mom is not in the picture for whatever reason. I don't know if she's whacked out on drugs. We don't know.
She gave birth to her in Iowa.
Okay.
And then she went to a foster family in Nebraska.
So whoever is in charge of naming this child, I don't know if they were trying to be funny. I don't know. My first thought was the child was birthed in a hotel. Why would you name her 13 hotel?
Well, you forgot Unakite.
Daily Mail has the detail.
What happened?
Random word generator.
No.
Not making it up.
That's
reading
even
it right
worse.
Here.
That's even worse. This is a human being.
Yep. She was named by a random word generator.
Oh, my God. We are so lost.
Can I ask the dumb question? Why not keep her name Unakite 13 Hotel for now? Get the documents that you need and then begin the process of changing her name to Caroline Kilburn.
There is some hiccup with even getting the documentation from the states. And I don't know if that's because she was birthed in one state and then quickly fostered in another. It is a bureaucratic nightmare from which there is no emerging, is what I've read from Dad. I saw the story yesterday. It broke my heart.
Mm-hmm. She was born in Council Bluffs, which is right across the river from Omaha in Iowa.
Got it.
What does Unakite mean? Sam, is that a real word?
So I was trying to look it up to see if there was a Unakite hotel. There is not. That's how I found the detail regarding the random word generator. Unakite is a word. It is a type of rock. It is a metamorphic rock that is altered granite composed of pink. I'm not going to pretend that I can read that word. And a number of other types of rocks.
So Dad took Caroline, or Unakite 13 Hotel, to the pediatrician for a routine checkup. She cannot get insurance because she doesn't have a Social Security card or a legitimate birth certificate. That trip to the doctor cost him $700. He is hesitant to go to the doctor again until or unless he can get her on his insurance. 3 weeks ago, she was sick, had a fever, was throwing up.
Oh, God.
And Dad had to decide, do I take her to the pediatrician or do I not? It's going to cost me $700. Her real name is, well... Caroline Elizabeth Kilburn.
Why can't they use the Unakite 13 Hotel as her name to get her medical insurance?
That's what I said. Why not just stay with Unakite 13 Hotel?
And then explain.
My nickname's Caroline.
Someone in the bureaucratic web of nightmare that is the foster system decided to use a word generator.
Random word generator. Random.
Dare I also say that 13 and hotel might be on the better end if you are using a random word generator than what that poor child could have ended up with.
Hmm.
Think of all the nouns that could be spit out by a random word generator. Hotel's bad. I can think of worse.
Like Unakite.
Buttocks.
Fart.
Yes. Why would they think that would be an acceptable idea to name a child?
Because you don't have a parent. To your point earlier, I don't know what's wrong with mom, but something's wrong with mom. Because mom does not have custody of the child. And the child was immediately thrown into foster care. So there's something wrong with mom. You don't have a name. Now, why not name the kid Amy Ruth Biggs? Why throw the name to a random word search?
Let me give you an example. When we adopted our cat years ago, now deceased.
Could it pull a bench?
I hate you.
Kitten pulls bench. First, middle, last name.
We adopted that cat from Wayside Waves. And as you can imagine, they are packed with animals who need homes. And it probably gets exhausting trying to come up with names for them. The cat that we adopted came with the name Dragon Fruit. You cannot make that up.
Dragon Fruit.
And one can understand in an animal shelter where there are thousands and thousands and thousands of pets without homes and hundreds of litters of kittens without homes. You couldn't spend all day coming up with cute names that are going to be changed anyway. So you just get handed one like Dragon Fruit. And then when we took Kitty home, we renamed her. You can almost
What'd you rename her?
Boo. She was black.
You know, Dragon Fruit is real?
Yeah.
Central America?
You can almost understand that with a crowded animal shelter where they are just trying to get through the day and find homes for all of the animals.
Yeah.
With a child?
Does this bureaucrat not know that the same websites that have random word generators, if you scroll down, have random name generators?
I'm not going to make fun of your pronunciation 2 weeks in a row, but did you say bureaucrat?
Bureaucrat.
What? Say it again?
Bureaucrat.
Okay.
What?
I thought you said bureaucrat.
Okay.
Like they're at a pub.
Sam had a great point. If you can find a random word generator, will generate a random noun, you can find a random name generator that would not spit out Hotel 13.
Unikite. 13 Hotel.
My God, that child's going to need therapy.
It's a beautiful type of rock.
Is it?
It is. It is a beautiful rock.
Unikite is a unique name.
I will give them that. But I'm standing with you on this. Just use the weird name to get all of the services that you need and go by Caroline in your daily life or go by Unikite. I wouldn't mind going by Unikite.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Denny's has announced today that they are adding a temporary surcharge to meals that include eggs, joining Waffle House.
There it is.
In adjusting prices due to supply challenges. In a statement to ABC News yesterday, the company explained that the surcharge is necessary due to the nationwide egg shortage and rising costs. Quoting here from their release, some of our restaurant locations will need to temporarily add a surcharge to every meal that includes eggs. This pricing decision is market by market, restaurant by restaurant, due to the regional impacts of the egg shortage. Denny's joins Waffle House that announced a similar move earlier this month, adding a temporary 50-cent surcharge per egg to its menu.
You can't be surprised.
No, not at all.
I do appreciate that they're doing it through the surcharge rather than just raising their prices, because that leaves the opportunity for them to lower the prices again once egg prices go back down when the supply has been replenished.
Hmm.
It's a new take on the term grand slam.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
All right. The puns on this show lately are just through the roof. It's scrambling.
Okay. We're done?
We're done. We're done. Not going to poach any more puns on the show.
Well done.
By the way, in light of Benchgate, are we going to do terrible jokes today? Maybe at 4:45?
I think we should.
Mix it up a little bit. Instead of doing it at 3:45, do it at 4:45. Sam, are you down?
I think we should.
It's a great new benchmark.
Okay.
I'm in.
Okay. You're not joking around, are you? Are you being serious?
I hate you both.
What's next?
Okay.
What do you got?
A married couple said that they were forced to sit next to a dead woman's body for 4 hours.
Oh, God.
On a flight from Australia to Qatar. Mitchell Ring and Jennifer Collin were on a Qatar Airways flight from Melbourne to Doha last week. About 10 hours into the flight, a woman exited the restroom, collapsed, and died right in front of them.
Oh, no.
They did everything they could, said Mitchell Ring. They did everything they could, but unfortunately, the lady could not be saved. It was heartbreaking to watch. Ring said the flight crew then put the woman's body in an empty seat next to the couple for the remaining 4 hours of the flight.
Wait, she was seated?
Mm-hmm. Next to them.
Like Weekend at Bernie's?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Said Ring, they looked a bit frustrated. I'm assuming that's the air crew. Then they just looked at me and saw seats were available beside me and my wife.
Oh, hell no, you are not putting a dead woman next to me.
We were in a row of four. They said, can you move over, please? And I just said, yes, no problem. Then they placed the lady in the chair that I was in. Qatar Airways, which is owned by the Qatari government, said in a statement to NBC News, first and foremost, our thoughts are with the family of the passenger who sadly passed away on board our flight. We apologize for any inconvenience or distress this may have caused, and we are in the process of contacting passengers in line with our policies and our procedures.
Okay, whoa. I have so many questions. When a medical emergency happens on board, and let's say you are over water, let's say you're over like a lot of water. You're flying
over the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, you're flying somewhere over, like there is no just emergency landing. We're going to just wheels down and handle this. I understand in a rare circumstance, those things have happened. Okay, rare. Sure. But you don't sit them up next. I'm asking, what do
Where do you put them?
So that is what their policy states that you do. You find the nearest seat that you can get them to. You strap them in like they're a passenger until you can get onto the ground. They had, I don't know what details you included. Dan popped in here. We were talking about something else.
That's
so.
Fine.
They had mentioned that they tried to move her up to business class where there was more space so that she wouldn't be directly seated next to another passenger, and they were unable to move her due to certain circumstances.
Would it be her weight?
Yes. And then once you're no longer in any control of your faculties, muscles, whatever, they call it dead weight for a reason. I'm not trying to be joking here. It's called dead weight for a reason.
But then why wouldn't you move the adjacent passengers to business class?
Good question.
That's a great question.
A really
because
good question.
Let's say I'm the decedent, okay?
Okay.
I would not want to be deceased, unknowing as it may be.
Yeah, why would you care?
Sitting, because in death, that is the last way I want to go out, like inconveniencing someone else. Like, I'm spilling over into their space, dead. So, like, I would be mortified.
It was an area where there were four seats, and the two passengers that were in the row were in the middle two seats. They moved them over one. So then there was one seat between the decedent and the passengers.
Well, but if she was as heavy as you say, where she couldn't be moved to the front of the plane, was there really a seat between them?
I've not seen images. And then, as I understand it, they made every single person on the plane wait to get off the plane until they were able to get medical staff on board to remove the decedent.
Okay, can I ask you something? Is it possible that the people sitting next to this woman, as sad as this is, just for whatever reason weren't comfortable speaking out or speaking up? Like, I think, like, let's say my 16-year-old daughter was flying all by herself and this happened.
Right.
She would be traumatized, but would also be like in a weird way, like fearful of saying, I'm not going to do this for that woman's dignity, for my sanity. I'm not like, is it possible whoever was seated next to her? Because what percentage of people, if you said, hey, I'm going to prop a dead body next to you for the duration of this flight, 99.9% of people are going to go, hell no, you are not. You are going to move me.
So here's what I don't understand, Sam. So they were in the middle. It was a four seat row. They were in the middle two seats, correct?
As I understand it, this is one of those massive puddle jumpers that has two seats on the outside, on either outside, and four in the middle with the two aisles. One of the big planes.
Well, so I think the big planes would be three on the outsides and then four to five in the middle.
However it worked out, there were four seats available.
Okay.
The couple was sitting in the middle two seats. So either seat on the aisle was empty.
So they did have access to an aisle.
They moved them over one, as I understand it, and placed her, the decedent,
Okay, because
in the other aisle.
If this was a four seat, which I've never seen, but four seat with a window and aisle on each side, I would want them to put her next to the window, no offense to the decedent, so that I wouldn't have to ask her to move so I could go to the bathroom.
Well, you couldn't ask her to.
Correct. That's my point.
Yeah.
But where are you supposed to put, God forbid, somebody dies on a plane, where do you put them? You don't want to put them in the back where they're handing out food and drinks, right?
I mean, if it's a packed plane and the only seat available is the seat that they were occupying, and yeah, there is nowhere else to
put them. Can I ask the next dumb question? Why not let everybody deplane first? And then...
Bingo.
I think that would be a little bit more dignified.
I agree.
And then you come onto the plane, instead of wheeling me out in front of everybody with my mouth agape,
yeah,
I'm dead.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, the trauma that the fellow passengers, you know, endured because of this, but also the lack of dignity shown to the decedent.
They did, from the text line, at least put a blanket over her. They did attempt to put a blanket over her. It fell down throughout
this is just
over and over again.
I mean, I don't know that they train for this kind of thing. I'm assuming they do. The things happen in flight.
Yeah.
This is not how you handle it.
You've had a medical issue on a flight.
Yes.
You passed out on a flight.
God forbid, if the worst of the worst happens at 30,000 feet, you wouldn't, even in death, I know you say, well, you're not going to know you're dead. Your family would not want to know that you were like splayed out there for the, you know, that's just not how we treat our dead.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. An Australian couple en route to Qatar ended up having to sit next to a dead woman's body for 4 hours. She had a medical issue apparently on the flight. They tried to save her. They could not. And she died on the flight. They were going to move her up to business class. But in fairness to her, she was a little heavy and they couldn't get her up to the front. So they asked this couple in a row that had four seats. They were in the middle two. Can you guys scoot over one? And they put this woman dead in their row. They tried to cover her with a blanket, but as you know, there's only a lap belt on a plane, so her body kept moving. The blanket kept falling off.
That planes move, yeah.
I mean, was she like? You may not know the answer. Was she like falling into the seat in front of her?
I don't know, but even if,
and then they have to prop her back up.
Even if you were at a normal weight, Scott, that is, you know, ask anyone in healthcare.
Oh, sure. You're going to move. And so was she like falling into the back of the seat in front of her? Then they have to prop her back up, try to cover her with a blanket.
God bless her.
I'm pretty sure that's how it was happening. Yeah.
Anne in Kansas City. Anne, hello. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Okay. He called me Anne. Okay. That's okay.
Well, what is your name?
I work... Victoria.
Oh, I don't know how Sam confused the two.
But go ahead.
No, he didn't. He didn't. I think he just thought, since I work for a major airline, I think he just gave me a name. But my name's Victoria. I just won't give my last name.
Go ahead.
I work for a major airline for 40 years. And what those flight attendants did was the correct thing. I think it was a foreign carrier, you said?
It was. It was Qatar Airways.
Qatar Airways, yes. But it's right across the board what we have to do. Years ago, I have some friends. We were on a 747. A man passed away, put him in the restroom, the lavatory. By the time they landed back into Detroit from Asia, rigor mortis had set in.
Oh, God.
And they had to, I know, they had to take the bathroom apart. So now it's in our manuals and everything where this is what we have to do. And it's unfortunate. If it's a full flight, they probably compensated this couple. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they compensated. And you were saying, I was listening, if the lady was by the window, she doesn't fall forward, none of that. You strap her in, and the blanket should, you know, I don't know if the passenger said, oh, the blankets were fall. They don't. They don't. Then the second thing, if the flight attendants asked people to move from first class, if you would please move, give up two seats to go to the back so we can do this, there's nothing we can do if the passengers refuse. So does that make sense?
Have you ever had somebody die on a flight that you were on?
Oh, knock on wood, no, in 40 years. But I have had, I have friends that have, flight attendant friends, yes. And we are trained, but it's like a no-no what my friends did. And they didn't do anything wrong. It was two male flight attendants that lifted this man into the lavatory on the 747. This is back in the 80s, 90s. And by the time they landed, it's like they couldn't get him out of the bathroom.
Well, and that's traumatic for the staff, Victoria and Queen. They're both Queen names. I love it.
In Sam's defense, she said she wanted to be anonymous. Sam said, I'm going to call you Anne.
Yep, and, that's exactly what happened.
And then she outed herself.
Mike in Leavenworth. Mike, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, no, I would just want to say this happened to me. I'm not going to say what airline, but I was flying home from the Northwest back to Kansas City. And as we're flying, I don't know where we were or whatever, but I got up. The flight was full. I got up out of my chair to go use the lavatory or restroom or whatever you want to call it. So I'm in the bathroom, do my business, come back out, and I notice there's a lady in the middle right where my seat was. I could not get back to my seat. And, you know, you hear the old usual thing, seriously, is there a doctor on board? Okay, so the doctor goes up there. They tried to revive the woman, and they even asked for the, well, I don't know, what do you call that thing, the AED. And the AED was not working. So anyway, the young lady, or not young lady, but this lady did pass. Her family was with her, and I ended up standing all the way up until we were two, Denver International, I'll just let you know that, and they had me sit and wear all the way in the back for the landing where the stewardess usually sit. And the stewardess got up and stood. And then we were, you know, they came and got her off the plane, and then we proceeded to Kansas City. But still, that was pretty traumatic to have to witness that.
No offense to the deceased, but why couldn't you sit in their seat?
Well, if I sat in her seat, she remained in the aisle. You mean on the flight back to Kansas? No, this was I was in that seat until we landed in Denver. And after they took off from Denver, I was able to go back to my regular seat.
All right, Mike. Hey, do appreciate it. Dave in Liberty, looks like you're going to get the last word. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Dana. Yeah, what Victoria said, my daughter is a flight attendant also. And she said, number one, no one ever dies on a flight because they're not allowed to make the call. Number two, said normally they would go to the back of the plane. But being a transatlantic flight, they had to take whatever seating was available. But I did ask her, I said, do you guys not have body bags or anything just in case this happens? Because I would be concerned with bodily fluids, you know, or contamination of some type if you couldn't contain all that. That would be my concern.
Dave hadn't even thought of that.
Yes, when you pass away, all of your muscles relax, and your muscles.
We got it.
We have another near miss today. You probably heard that on middays. We will talk about that. And the hero pilots who were paying attention flying that Southwest plane, Scott, those pilots are heroes.
And a partial toxicology is back on the Kansas City reporter who died in New Orleans right before the Chiefs Super Bowl game.
And the murderous, evil woman who is accused of drugging him.
We'll get to that in just a moment, right after the news with Dan Weinbaum here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.